Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are talking today about education matters, and we have a special guest. Dr. Steve Fry is the director of the School of Interdisciplinary Studies at Tennessee Tech University. Steve, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you on the program. You and I have known each other a long time, and
yes. We
talk pretty frequently, but this is the first time I think we've had you on this program.
It is.
So we're delighted you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Well, some of our listeners may not know much about you, so why don't you tell everybody a little bit about where you grew up and where you went to school and how you got to Tennessee Tech?
Glad to do that. Well, it'll probably show by my accent every once in a while. I didn't grow up here. I grew up in South Central Pennsylvania, a small city named Altoona, Pennsylvania, about 100 miles from Pittsburgh. I was the first person in my family to go to college. And if you'd have told me 20 years ago I'd be a college professor, I thought that's crazy. No way I would have ever thought that. Actually went to college a year after high school. And like I said, first person in my family to go. No one in any part of my family had gone to college. I grew up in a family of mechanics and folks working in restaurant business, and I grew up, my mom was a single mom. I have brothers that are 15 and 18 years older than me. So I was this long, unexpected, annoying baby boy. I am probably the worst baby in a three group. definitely have a youngest child syndrome, I guess. But had great supportive brothers growing up who took that male role model for me quite a bit, and I'm very, very grateful for them. But I ended up going to college in Tennessee, of all places. I had a friend who had gone to Carson Newman College, and at that point in my life, I felt a very, very strong unction to work in church ministry. And I had gone to Carson Newman in East Tennessee. Nobody had gone to college, so I didn't know anything about college, to be honest. And the first place I applied, I got turned down. They didn't think I had it in me to be academically successful. And I had spent 3 years in plumbing school, had planned to be a vocational person, and probably would have made more money if I'd have done that,
to be honest. But, and people need you.
All of a sudden, it's a great trade. I'm a big, big supporter of trades. Ended up going to college and found that I loved learning, absolutely loved learning. I did okay in high school, but I didn't know how much I would love it. When I got to college, I was one of those guys that wanted to major in every class I took. Had two majors and a minor. Just fell in love with learning. Went straight from there to seminary in Kansas City and spent a total of about close to 20 years in church parish ministry. Life took a couple of turns, and to make a very long story a little shorter, I ended up going back to school after I'd finished my master's degree. 10 years later, I had started teaching back at Carson Newman College when I was living in East Tennessee, and got the teaching bug, just fell in love with teaching, and knew if I ever wanted to do that full-time, I would need more education. And so I went back, and I ended up going to Duke University, which was probably just an amazing experience for me, absolutely amazing experience. I did a master's in theology there, and I had young kids. And I thought, I need to go through that doctoral stuff, you know. But I had kids that were 6 and 4. It was just not the right
time. Tough time to go to graduate school. Yeah.
Yeah. And we ended up coming back to Tennessee. I went back in, kept working with church, and spent 5 more years in Maryville pastoring a church, and the whole time teaching part-time, and the bug just kept biting. And we bit the bullet, and I went back to school full-time at UT Knoxville. And have a PhD in adult education, educational psychology, and that journey took us here.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you came here from Knoxville?
Did. We were living in Jefferson City, and I went full time.
Yep.
To school and did that journey of piecemealing part time jobs together, and kept teaching as an adjunct part time. I taught at Carson Newman, I taught at UT, and I taught at Tusculum.
How about
wherever
that?
I could, how about, you know, to pull some money together.
And you also pastored in more than one state, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I was in Kansas City, I worked there. And then we went to Pennsylvania, back to Pennsylvania for a couple of years after I graduated from seminary. And then ended up back in Tennessee working with church, and also worked with an organization in East Tennessee that rebuilt people's homes, and we ran a homeless shelter, and I directed a homeless shelter and directed a home repair organization for an organization called Appalachian Outreach. And that was just another incredible experience in my life. So I've always been in some type of helping profession,
yeah,
whether it was working with church or working with social work systems. And
in a lot of ways, you are now in a school of interdisciplinary studies,
yes,
or a college,
yeah,
of interdisciplinary studies.
And my life trajectory it's been an interesting path, but it's always had the same goal, really. It's always been the same vocation, that same, mm-hmm, the word vocation or calling. It's always been the same thing.
Well, you landed at Tennessee Tech. Tell us about this School of Interdisciplinary Studies, because it's a little bit unique,
yeah, yeah,
compared to other colleges.
We're a little outside the box. I had the privilege of being the very first faculty member in what became the new College of Interdisciplinary Studies, which started as a smaller program. There was the major in interdisciplinary studies and the major in professional studies. And we started to grow. We became a college with three schools in it: professional studies, interdisciplinary studies, and environmental and sustainability studies. I like to call us the sandbox of the university. We're the place where we get to play in the sandbox, where we get to create things, where we can draw outside the lines. The program I'm personally responsible for is I direct the School of Interdisciplinary Studies, which the major thing with us is the interdisciplinary studies major. Like, if you don't use the word interdisciplinary studies enough in that one sentence, we have a unique major where people put together two emphasis areas to create a major. I kind of, easy way to say it, it's almost like saying two minors make a major. People can take their interest areas, the areas they would like to tool themselves for, and can create a more specialized major that's very much focused toward their gifts, their passions, their abilities, and the things that they want to be tooled for. And so it's a really neat thing and a really neat opportunity for students.
It is truly more of a design your own than about anywhere else at the university.
Yes.
And it's badly needed. It's just a kind of unit that serves students who may not fit all of the traditional curricula, but also where they can shape it the way they want their college education to go.
Yes, and it is fun to watch students experience that. Sometimes people act like they don't know who we are, but for 2 or 3, 4 years in a row, we were the third largest graduating major on campus, which people go, what?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. Pretty amazing.
We graduate up to 150 students a year in our major. Which is a pretty big number of students. And we offer lots of courses. I think this semester we're up in close to 50 courses this semester. We offer a wide range of courses because we have about 5 or 6 different types of students we work with. We have traditional students that what they want to do doesn't fit exactly what
right.
Tech has. But that doesn't mean they can't enjoy what Tech is. We can help them customize something. Or if they just are people that have a lot of different interests, or they want to do something in graduate school that we don't offer, but we can help them customize something to get them ready.
Get ready for that graduate school.
We have that flexibility to be able to do that. We have that student. We have the non-traditional student who's returning to school. And we have enough outside-the-box classes and outside-the-box programs that someone on a non-traditional schedule can work with us. You can do the interdisciplinary studies major online or face-to-face, a combination of both, or at a number of off-campus sites where we offer what are called 2+2 programs, where students can actually complete the Tennessee Tech degree at an off-campus location, doing the first 2 years at a community college, and then the second 2 years through us, but we offer the courses on the campus.
They can still stay at Motlow or at wherever they are.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to come back and talk some more about that. So that's a pretty neat option to be able to sort of design this framework to take you where you really want to go.
Yes,
and that's a pretty neat part of it. Now you don't in the College of Interdisciplinary Studies. You mentioned you also have a school of professional studies and a school of environmental studies, and you cooperate in a PhD program there too, I think. You've got doctoral work that goes on there too.
Yes, in the environmental studies program.
Yeah.
We have a number of different PhD programs that are really, truly interdisciplinary PhD programs because they work with other programs. The students take courses in different areas to work toward a PhD, and they have some really exciting things going on over there. We've also have a new addition to our college this year, and that's the Department of Communication, which might be of some interest to people in this building.
Yeah, it could be.
And they're working toward they've created starting to create a master's program in communication. There is so much cool stuff going on.
And with communication, mass communication like radio and television broadcasting, are there other things that are in that degree too besides are those the two big concentrations?
Journalism, communication. Sure. Yeah, and I know we're working towards some other things. We created a course this semester in ethics and communication. We're doing some things related to critical thinking, the elections. They were running a course on fake news. Looking at the reality of
the environment we're in.
Yes, and not studying fake news, but studying the concept of news in general.
Yeah,
and how does one parse out all the abundance of voices that are out?
Yes, it makes you think. Yeah. It does.
It does.
Well, that's. We've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to take a quick break and then come back. We are talking to Dr. Steve Fry, the director of the School of Interdisciplinary Studies at Tennessee Tech University, and we'll take a quick break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeSmart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeSmart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeSmart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Steve Fry, the director of the School of Interdisciplinary Studies at Tennessee Tech University. Steve, in our first session, we talked a lot about sort of the goals of the program, and we talked a little bit about some of the students that are in it. But tell us about some of the other students.
Yeah, I had mentioned that we have those traditional students who are wanting to create something new. We have some off-campus students. We have on-campus non-traditional students. We work with adult learners who are returning to school. We work with students that have maybe not had the best first attempt.
I was one of those.
We have people who will come and talk to me and they're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed about this. And after we talk for a few minutes, I think they realize that they're definitely not alone in this world. There are a number of folks that had maybe a less than stellar first attempt at higher education, and they're returning, and they really have a different perspective and a different motivation, and they know why they're there and what they're there for, and those are super exciting students to work with. They kill it. They absolutely kill it.
Yeah, they are motivated.
And they're just fun to be around and watch their passion. And it's fun to watch what they do with their lives after that, because they know that this is going to make a difference in their life, and it's really fun to watch that. We also have what I like to call the Island of Misfit Toys. students who, they may have been in college for a while, and they may have been in this major or that major.
They've taken a scenic tour.
Yes, yeah, they've been victory lapping for a while, and they may or may not even be close to finishing. because they may have tried this major and it just didn't work out. They tried this one and they found out that's not for me. But then in that journey, they found, hey, there are some things I've really tuned into. And so we helped them put things together and work toward graduation and work toward the next step in their life. And that's a really fun thing to be involved in also.
I know we've had a number of governors in this state who have talked about the untapped resource of all those folks who've had some education, but life happened. It may have been a marriage. It may have been military. Maybe they just became a plumber, just decided that's where they wanted to go for a while. But now they're wanting back. And so this program will actually benefit those kind of folks.
Absolutely. We actively recruit that type of student. We have Tammy Keelan works for us, and she's a recruiter for our college. And she specifically looks for those students who have had hours in college and never finished. And she's done a great job helping find those students who they're actually closer to graduating than they might
sometimes
have
think. Yes.
Yeah, sometimes we'll find somebody and like they have maybe just a semester or two to finish. They may have a bunch of hours that they thought, hey, I can't do anything with this. But, you know, we have flexibility and the ability to be able to work with that student.
And they don't have to be 22 years old anymore, do they?
I think our oldest graduate was 91. When he graduated, we've had a couple of graduates who were in their mid-70s.
Yeah, I had a student in the interdisciplinary studies program while I was at Tech who was in his 70s, and he wrote a brilliant paper on World War II. I remember that part of what he did anyway. Well, there's a lot of opportunities. Now, at the end of this program, in fact, we probably ought to go ahead and do it now. Can you give a phone number where they could contact someone if they wanted more information about this program?
Actually, my number at the campus is 931-372-6241. If you just go to the Tennessee Tech website and look for Interdisciplinary Studies, the College of Interdisciplinary Studies, all of those programs are there and available. We have a special part of that website devoted to adult students, to 2+2 programs. To degree completion programs. We have, in those off-campus programs, we actually run a program right here in Cookeville at the Cookeville Higher Education Center where we have classes that are set up specifically for adult non-traditional students, assuming they probably have jobs already. And we have classes on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. We run some 5-week courses where a student will take just one course at a time. For 5 weeks, they meet on Tuesday nights, and then there's online components to those courses, and they're truly hybrid courses. And they are really designed for the person who is out in the workplace. Students that enter that program know when their classes are, from when they start to when they finish.
That's great.
They're going to be in this certain system, and it has worked really well for those students who are out there and working in some place here in Cookeville and would like to finish that degree. And we like to say it's probably closer than you think.
That's probably a good way to put it. And speaking of closer than you think, again, not every student has to come to Cookeville. These 2+2 programs you've got are at community college sites, at least the majority of them.
Yes.
Talk about the reach of that program.
Yeah, we have a program in Scott County in Huntsville where we've been running a program there for a while where students in that very rural community that has a really high unemployment rate and has struggled a lot. We've been able to help students in that community to complete a college degree right there in Huntsville. They don't have to, move to Cookeville. They probably can't. This year, we started working on an emphasis area in criminal justice. We've been working with sociology to create a criminal justice emphasis area because we're reaching out to those who work in the prison system up there and are trying to help folks who work in the prison system who don't have a degree to put them in a position where they can make a significant change in their life. Because there are a lot of people out there that have a good job but cannot really move on any further without a degree. We meet these folks all the time, and they make fantastic students. And I know of one student we had, because we have a program in McMinnville. We had a student in McMinnville who was taking her program with us, and when she finished the plant she worked in, she became the manager of that plant.
That's great. She got her primary work, her first work at Motlow State, and then worked with Tech for the rest of that
degree. We had another guy. We have a program in Coffee County, and he worked with us on his degree. And when he finished, he works for an auto manufacturer. And when he finished his degree, he became a plant manager.
Wow.
With that mm-hmm. organization. I mean, the degree is the thing that made the difference. He was the same sharp, amazing dude before he got his degree. But the education he gained through Tennessee Tech, he was able to take that and help move him in a position where he can. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's going to run it, man. He is sharp and an exciting guy to be around.
Just a natural.
Yes.
At that kind of.
So I've about hit all the spots now. We have mm-hmm. we have a pretty good significant program in Oak Ridge. We found out that no 4 years were serving Oak Ridge. No 4 year institutions
right.
were serving Oak Ridge, and so. We started working at one time with Y-12, helping folks there that didn't have a degree, and we set up a program that fit their schedule.
And Y-12 is part of the nuclear yeah. processing facility there.
Yes, and we have an interesting thing there. One of our students, adult students can work toward trying to earn credit for college-level learning that is acquired outside of higher education institutions. And they work, they create a portfolio, and we assess these portfolios to look for college-level, credit-worthy learning that occurs outside the workplace. And he had petitioned for some credit, and he didn't have a degree yet, but his name was on the article in the discovery of Tennesseum, which is an element on the periodic table.
Wow.
And he was one of our students.
That's great.
And he didn't have any problem getting any college level credit for that.
Those laboratories over there have got better equipment than Tennessee Tech does in some of their labs.
They do amazing work. But there are people there who were working in those systems who don't have a college degree.
Sure.
And so we work with them. We have that program in Oak Ridge. And our newest program is in Lawrenceburg, in Lawrence County. We started working there at least about 3-4 years ago. And we've already had our first run of graduates through the program, and we're in a second cycle now with students in that rural county working through Columbia State Community College.
So you've mentioned Roan State and Columbia State and Motlow. There are a lot of different programs out there. Vol State's a big partner of Tennessee Tech. So a lot of good things going on. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more, including maybe sign language. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking education matters with Dr. Steve Fry, the director of the School of Interdisciplinary Studies at Tennessee Tech University. And Steve, we've talked about community college partnerships, and we've talked a lot about some of the kinds of things that students do in your school. But we want to talk some in this segment about religious studies and maybe about sign language. And we also might mention the kind of careers that some students go on to. Mm. I think you've got a country music singer as an alumnus that we might mention at some point. But why don't you start by talking about your religious studies minor?
Yeah, we 5-6 years ago, we started working on a new course for the general education curriculum at the university on an introduction to religious studies. Of course, my background, my first 3 degrees are in religious studies. My doctorate's in adult ed and educational psychology. So it was a neat opportunity to put my worlds together. And we created this introduction course. We piloted it, and it went well. It was approved as a gen ed course in humanities. And then we started offering courses, and we cannot offer enough of them. If we put it out there, it fills up. Just all of them fill up. And so we've had so much success with that. And, I advised a lot of students in interdisciplinary studies at that time. We have a student success center now, but at that time I was doing a lot of advising. And I had a number of students who were interested in things like graduate school, seminaries, ministry, and they ended up with us. Because we were the place that fit them the best. And so we started noticing that there was probably a market out there for more religious studies courses. I ended up, and eventually Jeff Roberts in history, the chair of history, and I worked together and created a minor in religious studies. And so we took courses from, I I think five different colleges on campus have courses in this minor, which is really outside the box for Tech.
Well, that's cool.
And interdisciplinary studies and history worked together and created this. And we started offering more advanced courses in religious studies. And I was able to hire Rachel Wingo a couple of years ago as a full-time teacher in religious studies. She's fantastic. We offer 5, 6, 7 courses a semester, and they all fill up pretty much. I'm teaching a course right now in Jesus and History, Faith, and Tradition, a university-type course where we look at those issues, and that's just a fun class. She's teaching a she teaches a course in new religious movements. She has taught a course in religion in graphic novels, which is interesting. She's taught one in women and religious traditions. We have a new course that we're going to be offering next semester on death and dying in different religious traditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the concept of death and
how
it
works, that would be
in
interesting
traditions. And we have one in religion in the workplace. A lot of things going on. This is part of our sandbox, part of our coloring outside the lines. And you mentioned sign language. We a number of years ago there were courses in sign language being offered at the university, and interestingly, a lot of our majors were taking them. And so we ended up starting to offer those courses. And that's another thing. If we offer a course in ASL, fills up. And I, last year, lost a couple of the people I have that were teaching for us. And we made a petition to the university and were able to get approved a full-time position, instructor position, in teaching sign language. And ASL 1, ASL 2.
And ASL is American Sign Language.
Yes, and we have the intro courses, ASL1, ASL2, that we're offering this semester. We have a brand new teacher that I was able to hire this semester. Very, very excited about it. Paige Hawkins, who is doing a fantastic job teaching. And those courses will stay full, and we're going to be offering more. We're actually offering ASL online, like fully online courses, and we're offering them face-to-face on campus. Next semester, we're going to teach a course in deaf culture that she is going to be offering. And Instructor Hawkins is deaf. She grew up in a deaf family.
Wow.
And it is really fun to watch her teach. And she is very savvy, her savviness in technology is fantastic. She has 2 degrees from Gallaudet University, deaf university in Washington. And we're just excited to have her, too. So that's an area we're looking to grow in, too. So
yeah.
You look for spots, and you grow, and you find those needs on campus. And we're actually working on some other new things that are coming, and it's exciting stuff.
And I could see a student maybe called to church service, as you were talking about, taking the religious studies, maybe picking up sign language, and sort of having their own set of portfolios to take into a church kind of an environment. Well, you've got a lot of things going on. Talk a little bit about some of the students who have completed. You don't have to mention names. Can if you want to. But
I think you might be working toward one of our favored sons.
There's one that I thought of for sure. But talk about what they do afterwards and some of the careers they've gone into.
Well, you might be talking about our favored son, Jake Hoot. Some of you may have heard of Jake Hoot. Jake is an interdisciplinary studies graduate from Tennessee Tech. I had the privilege of working with him as an advisor when he was in our program.
Just been on The Voice in the last year and won it.
He did. We're so proud of that guy. We've tried to support him in as many ways as possible. We have I've had people ask me, what do you do with a degree in interdisciplinary studies? My favorite saying that I borrowed from a friend in English was, the answer is, what can't you do with a degree in interdisciplinary studies? We have people who are attorneys. We have people working in medical fields. We have people who teach. We have folks in, you mentioned people in ministry. We have many people in business and different types of business. Mm-hmm. In their own businesses, we have, like I mentioned, the guy, we have two people I know of that are plant managers that are graduates of our degree. We have just people all over the place And it's funny when you start talking to people, find out, oh, yeah, that person has an interdisciplinary studies degree. And I meet them all the time who are out there. And you think, well, is that a degree that for people who just don't know what they're doing? No, not at all. And I really see it as a way to play to your strengths, which I don't think that's a bad thing.
I agree.
We all have certain passions and skills and abilities, and we can use this degree to help a person really tune in toward those things in particular. I had a chance to meet with some presidents of chambers of commerce one day, and I was talking to them about our degree, and I said, hey, I want to, and talking about our degree, if say I came in for a job interview, and you said, what's your degree in? And I said, well, interdisciplinary studies. And I asked them, I said, so what's your next question? And they were like, what's that? And I spent about 5 minutes explaining it, and then I had people talking to me afterwards saying,
yeah,
that is such a neat idea, that you can piecemeal things together in a way that will give you a really unique skill set.
It builds a special portfolio for you.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. It we'll talk about that portfolio for a potential student. What advice would you have for a student who doesn't know for sure what he wants to do, maybe doesn't know whether college is right for him, or certainly isn't excited maybe by a particular major? What advice would you have for them at this point? And I think you and I would both say college isn't for everyone.
It's not.
You don't have to go to college to have a great life.
No, you don't. And I don't think you have to. I think that college is right when you need those skill sets. I don't think college is a wrong thing for hardly anybody.
Right.
I think that the most important thing you learn in college is you learn how to learn. That's the most important thing. You cannot learn everything you need to know for a job in college. You can't learn it anywhere.
No.
Because you have to go out and do something and apply it. But you can learn how to learn and learn how to think. And learn how to think in a way that is critical, can really analyze situations and apply knowledge in the real world. I think that's what education's about anyway. So sometimes it's not the right choice. Sometimes folks need to look at other areas. I mentioned I'm a tradesperson. I really am passionate about moving people toward that area. There are areas where we desperately need people, welding and plumbing and other areas like that, where we have a shortage
right.
of people out
we there. We do, and the pay is good.
They're good jobs. I spend a week every summer up in the University of Michigan teaching electricians, and I teach journeyman electricians, and I teach them adult learning theory.
How about that?
Like a wild thing.
It's
one of my favorite weeks of the year. They're up there getting an education on how to teach because they teach apprentices,
mm-hmm.
and I get to see that field also. That's a great field.
It is,
and it takes some skills. It takes some thinking. All of those areas do, and getting some training, maybe looking at apprenticeships or mentorships, or looking at the Tennessee Colleges of Applied Technology. They can be a good option.
That's a great point to make. Is Tennessee Tech has a number of partners in higher education, the TCATs, the Tennessee Colleges of Applied Technology, and the community colleges. All can be partners and can be Absolutely. Helpful for a student.
Absolutely. If a student coming back to school, they should look at those options. There are some really good options at the community colleges for adult students coming back, and we can partner with them to move them toward a four-year degree as well. And we partner with the community colleges to make that more simple, to make those transitions work for those students.
And that wasn't always the case, but
No.
it's certainly a lot better today than it was when I went to community college back in the 60s. This is Local Matters. We have been talking to Dr. Steve Fry, the director of the School of Interdisciplinary Studies at Tennessee Tech University. Steve, it's been an honor to have you. Thanks for being here.